warning. The Catholic Man Show contains high levels of manliness. If you think you may be too weak to withstand the manliness represented in the following program, please do yourself a favor and stop listening now. If you choose to continue in spite of this warning, if at any time you feel yourself overcome by the manliness, stop immediately and consult your closest medical professional. And now, for the not so fair, faint, or frilly, we present The Catholic Man Show.
That's right. Welcome to the 100th episode of The Catholic Man Show. Thanks for hanging in there with us for 100 episodes, assuming that you started with us on episode one. I'm Adam Minahan here with David Niles in the studio. We have a special guest with us that we will introduce in just a second. But Dave, we just got a text message or a Facebook message from one of our council members that said, congrats on our 100th episode. I can't believe people are still listening.
Which pretty much sums up how I feel.
Yeah.
Really day to day.
I'm really shocked.
100, 100 is just a number like any other number.
Yeah.
But it feels right. It feels right to honor it.
Yeah, because it's basically like 2 years of doing this.
Just shy of.
Yes. So We're really excited. This is going to be a fun episode. I think it'll be fun to kind of look back as well on some of the things that have happened over the almost 2 years of we've been doing the Catholic Man Show. But we do have a special guest. We actually have two special guests with us today in studio. The first, I'll introduce Juan, which he really needs no introduction.
In fact, don't introduce him.
Just don't, for his humility
Juan,
sake.
Hey everybody, Juan's here.
Juan's here, yeah. So just look back on a couple of other episodes, you'll catch Juan.
And we're doing video for this episode.
Yes, we are. You can check out our YouTube page.
Juan, what do you call that shirt?
Guayabera.
Whatever.
Yeah, I don't know what that means. And I can't respond.
It looks good. It looks good.
He looks really good.
I don't know what it is you said.
Pockets.
It's a lot of pockets. Yeah, it is a lot of pockets.
Four pockets on the front.
Untucked.
Never untucked.
Right. Yeah, you wouldn't tuck
something
like
linen?
That.
Is it linen? Yeah. Yeah, it looks very breathable.
Man. Yeah, like...
I dig this.
You got to iron it. No. Don't throw that in the dryer, man.
No. But I'll let you introduce our other guest.
Okay, so our other guest is Council of Man member, Mr. Blake Berger.
Yes.
One of our friends.
And fellow parishioner of St. Benedict.
Indeed. And contributor for the man beverage today, which, man, we are excited about.
Yes, we are. And, Blake, I'm so glad to have you on. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Hey, thanks, guys. I've been a long-time listener, and I'm excited to be here and finally see the studio in person.
Yeah, so, Blake, you're one of those
guys.
Were
you underwhelmed?
Yeah.
Sometimes I wonder, like, what is the studio?
Sure.
Yeah.
just soak it in. Soak it in.
Right. It's a room. It has four walls, a ceiling fan.
Mm-hmm. And
it's,
lights.
It's exactly what I thought it'd be.
Perfect. Good.
Got some good decorations.
It does have some good decorations.
Yeah.
Blake, I'm so glad that you're joining us. I've said this on a previous podcast, but you're a great friend of ours. You're like one of those guys who, when you're first introduced and I first met you, I'm like, I want to be your friend. You're just like, you have this thing about you that, I don't know, Dave and I have talked about this. We've said it on the show, but you're a great friend. So I appreciate you coming out and hanging out with us.
Well, like I said, I've been looking forward to this and looking forward to seeing the sauce get made behind the scenes of this deal. So.
Well, I'm going to let, I think we should let Blake introduce.
What is this whiskey before us?
Well, it was a gift that I was given a couple years ago, and not being a big bourbon guy, I wasn't sure the appropriate occasion to drink it. And it's a 10-year old Rip Van Winkle, and as soon as I got it and listened to the podcast, I knew I wanted to share it with you guys, and on the 100th episode, it's probably appropriate to crack this thing open.
Yes.
And see what it tastes like.
In fact, we've been planning this for a long time.
Yeah. It's been sitting in my shelf for a while. So,
So go ahead and do the honors.
Yeah,
and do that. And crack that baby open.
Juan, take a picture as he's pouring it, if you can.
Because I'm not going to open it.
No, I won't. You have to peel
it
that
just,
little...
It just wouldn't be right if I did.
But yeah, it's just, like, we've been planning this. And talk about practicing prudence and temperance.
Especially on Blake's part. It's been sitting in his house this whole time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, so I don't know. This is one you enjoy by yourself. So it's...
That's true.
if I had it in my house, it would be.
No, that's true. I mean, every time that I've had a nice whiskey that's either given to me or something like that, I get excited to share it with everybody else.
It's definitely not one, though, that you enjoy with a whole bunch of people.
That's true. That's true. So it's the 10-year Rip Van Winkle, old Rip Van Winkle.
It's 107 proof.
Yes.
Which is interesting.
Distilled by Buffalo Trace. Mm-hmm. And it is the reason why Van Winkle is so popular is for several reasons, but one of them is that they only make 84,000 bottles a year.
Mm-hmm. Which sounds like a lot, but it isn't. That's not a lot.
No, compared to like Jim Beam, Jack Daniels, like, you know, they make millions.
Yeah, you know, the hundreds and hundreds of millions of whiskey drinkers in the world.
Right.
Who all want to get a bottle.
Right. And so the reason, the actual price is not too expensive off the shelf. It's the kind of the black market of whiskey.
If you can find
it. If you can find it, right. But it's the black market whiskey that drives the price way up.
Yeah. Yeah. So when you go and if you're going to find it, you're going to find it on Craigslist somewhere or just somebody selling it for thousands of dollars sometimes. Right. I mean,
so it's a weeded whiskey. It's a and the reason why it's been such a big fan is like in 99 or 2000, early 2000s maybe, they submitted it and it received a 99 out of 100 on the whiskey, like a festival, in one of the whiskey festivals. And the reason why is because it, you know, for it to be a whiskey, it has to be at least 51% corn.
Mm-hmm. And bourbon
for bourbon. Yeah. Correct. But this actually, and normally they use rye, but this was used as wheat, and I think it says like up to 70% of it is wheat, which is why it gives such a rich flavor. So I'm tired of just talking.
So is it a bourbon?
Yes, it has to be at least 51%
corn. But this is 70% wheat.
Of the remaining.
Oh, okay. I gotcha.
Percentage,
right, gentlemen. So
anyway,
we're on the Lord's team,
the winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers.
Cheers to Jesus.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers to Blake.
Yes. It's a very caramel color.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm surprised how dark it is.
Well, for a 10-year, you mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
It smells really good. It has a little bit of citrus.
Not, and for being 107 proof, it is not... Not overpowering. You know, typically with something that strong, if you put your nose down in the glass like that, it's going to burn. You're going to get some, singe your nose hairs a little bit. But this.
Mm.
You know what I mean? There, mm-hmm. It's the aroma on the nose is very, very smooth.
So I catch on the palate a lot of floral, notes on the palate.
Wow.
And at the end, a very that sweet honey.
That is exciting.
Honey. Oh, yeah. What are your thoughts? Let me give you. Yeah. What's your thoughts?
I agree with you guys. It's the singe. When I found out it was 107 proof, I was a little bit worried about the overall taste. But it's floral. I get a little bit of caramel.
Uh huh. Yeah. There is a sweetness to it.
Okay. So I just got to be honest. Here's my expectation was that, you know, Van Winkle, yeah, it's, oh, everybody talks, it's so expensive, it's so good, and like, I kind of expected, I'm going to taste it and go, yep, that's a good bourbon. I've had a lot of good bourbons, that's one of them, you know, and that it wasn't going to be this huge deal, but actually, it is really good.
Yeah, it's very
drinkable. It is better than other bourbons I've had. Like, yeah.
Long finish.
Yeah, it does have a long finish, you're right.
Long finish.
It is. It's wow.
Do they even use good. Miles in Venezuela? One.
No, but I'm a citizen.
Yeah, he is a citizen.
Touche. Welcome to the country.
Wow, that is really good.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm really excited that you know, like when you have really high expectations and you go see a movie,
and then it's good.
And it like, yeah, it is a good movie, but it's not like
great,
the best
excellent.
Movie you've ever seen.
Right.
And so you kind of like don't like it. You didn't. You don't enjoy it. That's what I was worried about with this whiskey. But Actually, can, it is really good.
You can tell, like, to me, a lot of Eagle Rare, like, it's very similar to Eagle Rare, but just a lot smoother, in my opinion. It's a higher quality.
And being higher in alcohol, I wonder if that helps bring out the aroma a little bit more, because the alcohol is going to be more aromatic, you know.
I don't know, but it is phenomenal. It is really good. So thank you, Blake. Thanks for sharing.
You're welcome,
guys. Okay, so Dave, I don't think that we're going to be able to get... what we're going to do is talk about maybe our top three drinks over the last 100 episodes. I don't think we're going to get to all three before the break. Why don't you give your first, and I'll give my first, and if you guys want to say one as well, you can, and then we'll kind of pick up for after the break. Go ahead.
Aside from this one, Laphroaig 10.
I knew that's what you're
going to... I mean, yeah. Obviously. I mean... That's kind of a dumb question.
Yeah, I knew that was going to be. And actually,
can I give my number two?
Sure, yeah, go ahead.
Is Ardbeg Korifreken.
Okay, that's a great one.
I may have stole your top two as well.
No,
I don't know.
I knew, kind of had a feeling you were going to do that. So yeah. I did pick the Laphroaig Caridas 2015. We did that on episode 37.
Uh-huh.
And man, let me tell you, that was a phenomenal...
I agree.
Whiskey. That was a phenomenal scotch.
Not all the Laphroaigs I like as much, you know, but the Caridas was like, okay.
Yeah. You got one?
Laphroaig for sure.
Laphroaig. Juan? The La Santa? The Glenmorangie La Santa? Okay. When we get back, we'll continue with the drinks, and then we'll jump into the top three man gears. We're on all the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles, in studio today with Adam Minahan, Mr. Juan Posada, and our honored guest, Mr. Blake Berger.
Hello, hello.
So, we kind of thought, okay, what are we going to do for the 100th episode? And we decided, I think it would be a good idea just to kind of reflect. We've talked about, as a man, you're supposed to reflect and remember what you've been doing. And so I thought it'd be a good idea just to kind of reflect on all the past episodes and come up with a top three drink, man gear, and topic. And then we can talk about, maybe some of our favorite episodes, some of the people that we had on air.
Yeah.
Just kind of go from there.
Okay.
So this last segment, we already did our number one and maybe number two drink. Maybe one or two.
Yeah.
Yours was,
mine was Laphroaig 10.
Uh-huh.
Ardbeg Korifreken.
Okay. And then mine was the Laphroaig Caridas 2015 from episode 37. And then another one was the Balvenie 15-year sherry cask that we had on episode 78.
Mm-hmm.
That was a delicious Speyside scotch.
Yeah.
And then my last one, I kind of switched it up because it was really hard to go through these and figure out which ones I liked the best, because
I agree.
It's almost like which child
and what's your favorite
do you
song?
Like the best? Yeah, what's your favorite song or movie?
Depends on the mood you're in,
right? So I switched it up. My last one, I'm going to go with Treehouse Haze Double IPA that we received on episode 45. A delicious IPA that St. Stephen Hull sent us.
I have to agree with you, because when I had that beer, it changed beer for me. I mean, it really did. That I'm not just exaggerating. It really did. Kind of it altered my expectations.
Is exaggeration like 1,000 times worse than under exaggeration?
Over exaggeration is 1,000,000 times worse than under exaggeration.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have any more, Blake, that you can think of off the top of your head?
I mean, he hasn't been here for all the beverages.
Yeah,
I mean,
and we're putting him on the spot. He had no idea we were going to do this.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I mean, I do have Laphroaig in my cabinet now because of you guys. So that's
all right, Laphroaig.
Yeah, it's time, Laphroaig.
You got to send us just a free bottle. I mean,
we have
doesn't even cost you that much.
Yeah. Dave, one of my I was going back listening to a couple episodes, and one of my favorite quotes by the David Niles Mr. Humble himself.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I know him.
Was you said drinking a good beer is like reading good poetry. And when you said that, I was like, And I chewed on it for a little bit. And then I realized, yes, that is true.
You should do that with more of the things I say. I think you'll find equal amount of brilliance in them.
I did, actually. It took me a long time to get to that one.
Well, it's because it's pretty deep. I mean, I'm operating at a much deeper level than the average person. I think you said
that like in episode 60-something. So mm-hmm. It was like, it took me over 60 episodes to find something.
You know how, like, when you're a child and you read the Bible and you just are unaware of the depth and brilliance there, and then you become an adult and someday, Adam, you'll go back and listen to those first 60 episodes.
I probably will not do that.
And you'll say, yeah, he was right in front of me the whole time. And it was going right over my head. And I say that in all humility.
Yeah, naturally.
Naturally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So another drink for me, aside from tree...
Come on.
Treehouse.
Okay.
Brewing.
Not treetop.
I've developed a process in my head, which I have... now I can arrive at the correct answer. Aside from Treehouse...
Yes.
I really liked the gin. Not because it was my favorite drink, but because it opened up...
Which one? We had two.
St. George.
Okay, from California. But we also had the Irish gin.
The Irish gin was good, too. Yeah, that's true. I just say drinking gin on the show is really... I'm not actually thinking of one specifically, but that opened up a new world for me because my experience up until that point with gin was one of vomit reflexes.
Okay. My runner-up for drink was Ken Henderson's homebrew.
Yeah.
That one was a really good
one. Too bad we can't share that with the world.
Yeah. But I mean, really that was a good runner-up. So I tried to pick two whiskeys, two beers. Mm-hmm. So let's get to the man gears because we're already running out of time. What's your number one?
Flamethrower. No,
I knew that was going to be it.
Everybody saw that coming, I think.
Yes. Mm. Do you have anything to elaborate? Like, you want to elaborate on that
I don't
at all?
Think there's anything that needs to be said. It's my favorite.
Okay.
You can
let's ask
you can light stuff on fire. It's like a fire gun.
Right.
It's awesome.
Blake, do you have a favorite man gear by chance?
I think the hatchet probably.
That was a good one.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a manly multi-purpose tool.
Yes. Yeah, you can hammer.
You can chop.
Yeah. Yep. You can help like break up a body to fit it into like a smaller hole or something if you're trying to bury it or, you know, you never know, dude.
That was really weird of you to say.
Just saying.
My favorite was the smoker. Mm-hmm. And it's obvious that it was my favorite because we actually did it on two episodes.
Yeah, we did. We did repeat it.
Episode 17 and episode 38, we did the smoker twice.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to tell you, like, I would do it again because I could probably talk again for another 12 minutes on the smoker.
I also like the pocket knife, number one.
Yeah.
Episode number one.
The Leatherman.
The multi-tool that we did, yeah.
One of mine was also was a throwing axe, which is the hatchet throwing axe in episode 60.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
I think that doesn't come to a surprise to people who know me that I like to throw axes.
Yeah. I also really liked work gloves.
Yeah, that was one that you suggested, and I thought, this is going to be lame initially, but it ended up working out.
Sort of like the shop rag. You also...
And shop rag was another one
that I... had similar feelings initially about the shop rag.
I was not excited about.
But then I think you came around.
I did. You're right. Yeah. I agree. Another one of mine was the fountain pen. It totally changed my game. When we had Monsignor Gallus on, we talked about G.K. Chesterton. It was a great episode.
And Dr. Malloy, he gave us those fountain pens. And having one and using it now, I'm a huge fan.
Right. It definitely... I knew of fountain pens. I'd never had one before. I never wrote with one before.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
But once I finally did, I realized, I have been missing out. It definitely changed the game for me with fountain pens.
Now I own multiple fountain pens.
So do I.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I was in China this last week, and I had my fountain pen with me. And when I busted it out, everybody was like, "Ooh, can I write? Can I try that?" They didn't. I mean,
no, you can't. I'm sorry.
I translated that for you, but that's what they said.
Because do you speak Chinese?
No, my translator told me that's what they said.
Oh, okay.
So
he translated it for me.
Yeah. I'm actually, like, I got home today at 9:30 a.m., so I'm a little jet lagged.
Yeah, I'm
kind of surprised I'm actually still standing or sitting up.
I'm surprised this wasn't rescheduled, if you, just to be honest with everybody.
Because it's 13-hour difference plus the jet lag.
Anyway,
Anyway, that was one. That was another.
Hey, you look fine.
Thank you.
Your eyes aren't even bloodshot or whatever.
I'm really surprised because I didn't eat a whole lot of things that they put on my plate while I was there.
Let's ask the peanut gallery. What was your favorite man gear, Juan?
Chessboard.
Chessboard.
That was another one.
Another one that consumed my life for like 4 weeks.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And now we like every once in a while we'll get together and play chess. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I really enjoy.
Yeah, the gentleman manliness intensifies.
Yeah, I really liked the chessboard because it reminded me of back when my dad would teach me chess and the times that we had together playing chess.
Yeah.
How he always just whooped me. But you always remember the first time you beat your dad at everything, right? Don't you?
Like, and then you look back and realize like he let you win.
Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe not in chess, but in basketball.
Yeah, maybe basketball.
Basketball is definitely that way.
But don't you remember like the first time like everything you beat your dad in?
Yeah, you have to.
Yeah. Yeah.
There are some things Adam will never beat his dad in.
Like arm wrestling. Yeah,
right.
Anything with like physical.
Yeah, I was going to say really anything that involves like physical exertion.
Except for running.
Yeah, yeah.
I can
beat
my dad in running.
You got him there.
But that's about it, physical wise.
But don't let.
And jumping.
You better be able to outrun him because don't let him catch you.
Yeah, because he's a big man.
It's game over at that point.
He's a big man.
He's like a vice grip of arms.
Yeah. So, David, let's talk really quick. I think that like why we do a man gear, because when we first started the show, we were trying to develop it. For those who don't know, I actually thought about this too, Dave. We haven't told people up at the first like 5 episodes we told people, but we didn't really tell people after that like that we've been best friends our whole lives. That's something that we haven't really said.
Yeah, ever since kindergarten.
For like 95 episodes, we haven't said that.
That's weird.
I know. But yeah, ever since kindergarten, Dave and I have been best friends. We live across the street from each other right now. Our families have grown up together. But Dave, why do we start the man? Like, how do we develop this process?
You know, so we want to try to highlight different aspects of manliness. And, you know, so we have a drink. You know, it's okay to have a whiskey and still be a good Catholic man. It's also okay to be into like cool man stuff and still be a good Catholic man. But we realize that a lot of these Catholic, these manly things exemplify a virtue in and of themselves. Like the first one we did, I think this is the best example, a pocket knife. Why is a knife manly? There's something about a knife that's manly. Like women, right. You would never see a woman carrying a pocket knife on her hip, like, or like on her belt or in her pocket. I mean, she's just not going to do that. Maybe she'll have one in her purse. Maybe.
Right.
But I think the vast majority of women don't carry a knife. Mm-hmm. Where a lot of it's very common for men to carry a knife. There's something manly about it. What is it? And so we like to try to dive into that and talk about the philosophy behind the knife.
Because we're big time philosophers.
Yeah, exactly. Even if it's just kind of subliminal.
Right.
That's why we do the man gear.
Yeah. So when we get back, we're gonna jump into the topic. We're gonna talk, kind of reminisce about the last few episodes, when I say that, about 99, 100 episodes. We're here with Blake Berger, Juan Posada. I'm Adam Minahan with David Niles. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Welcome back. We've been enjoying Old Rip Van Winkle handmade bourbon, aged 10 years, a delicious Kentucky straight bourbon whiskey that has been generously shared by Blake Berger. And Juan Posada is here with us as well, giving his 2 cents, 3 cents, 4 cents. I don't know how much you're giving. 10 cents. A dime.
Is it pesos?
No, we're talking American. He's a citizen.
I know.
So that joke doesn't work.
It's still funny.
To you.
Yeah.
So this is our 100th episode, as we've discussed. I'm excited about it. Like, I've been kind of excited about just hitting the 100 mark, because it means that, like, we've stuck through this for, you know, almost 2 years, and people have actually listened to this for 2 years. So I'm really excited to be here. Dave, why don't we kind of just talk a little bit about what the Catholic Man Show has actually given to us before we talk about our top episodes that we've enjoyed over the last 2 years?
Well, for me, it's just been encouraging to see, being on this side of the curtain, so to speak, it's been encouraging to see God's work, especially when it's so obvious that it's not us that's doing the work. Like I mentioned with Father Danny a couple weeks ago, that some of the episodes where we record them, we think that's the worst episode we've ever done. And we almost don't air it and try to panic and record something else at the last minute, which we didn't end up doing. We just said, "Oh, I guess we got no choice. We'll air it." And then people would tell us, "Oh man, that's exactly what I needed." Or, you know, like one guy sent us a message how, he was contemplating suicide. You know, he just happened to hear one of our episodes at the right time and, like, helped turn him around. I mean, like, a lot of stories like that we've got over the last 2 years that have just been, you know, it's an honor to just be
a part of.
Yeah, I mean, God can really do anything with anyone. And so it's meant a lot to me spiritually, getting to see that, so some of those fruits that other people don't get to see. Also, it's great to have a reason that something that forces me to study some of these topics, you know, because we'll come up with a topic and, well, we got to research it.
Right.
So,
throughout the week,
that's one thing that's been great. You know, like the episode that comes to mind for me is the leisure episode. I studied for weeks actually for that episode. And if you go back and listen to it, you won't be able to tell. I promise. But just going through that process and listening to other people's talks, there were some talks I listened to 3 or 4 times, and just it really opened my eyes to kind of what's the purpose of our life here on earth. It wasn't what I thought it was until I really started to study that topic.
Yeah, another one of mine is just the friendships that we've made. I just can't.
Yeah, that's a good one too.
I can't believe, through not only just the Council of Man, but just men who've reached out to us and taken time out of their day to shoot us an email or a Facebook message or something, that say, "Hey, I feel you. I know where you're coming from. I'm in your shoes, you know." And I thought I was the only one. And getting to know these guys from in the Council of Man, and realizing that there are other great Catholic men. And I look up to a lot of them. You know, I look up to a lot of these guys who are in the council that I realize, man, these guys are killing it, you know, in the game of life.
Yeah,
they're killing it. And it really gives me something to look up to and something to strive for.
Speaking of which, if you want to join the council, you know, if you listen to our show, you hear us talk about it, go to thecatholicmanshow.com. You can sign up to join the council there. And then you'll get into our private Facebook group. And really, the best thing about the Facebook group has nothing to do with us. It has to do with all the other guys that are there. You will find a group of men on this Facebook page that are outstanding, phenomenal. I mean, it's hard to explain the community that we have there.
I want to thank all of the guys who, because there's guys that are not on the Facebook page that we don't get to interact with daily because they either don't have Facebook or whatever, but there's a lot of guys who have, you know, supported us and sent us, you know, $10 a month to make this happen. But, you know, it's also funny.
Yeah, like Blake.
Yeah, Blake's the one. Blake doesn't have Facebook, but you know, he still supports us every month, and you know, that's just very cool. Like, you know, Dave, there's been a lot of times where we've been doing this show for 2 years now, and there's been things that have happened where I realized that I didn't know if I signed up for this. You know, there was times where I realized I'm not sure if I really signed up to do all of this. You know, I was just thinking we're going to talk on the microphone and for an hour.
To be fair, a lot of that stuff is your fault.
Right.
Okay. You're the one who went, like, You're the one who wanted to do t-shirts and hat, like all that stuff. I blame you.
Right. I understand.
I blame you. And but, I'm glad you did all that stuff. I like our t-shirts. We have cool t-shirts.
But there have been times where I've been like, man, I don't know. Is this worth it? You know, it takes a lot of our time. But every time I think that there's somebody who either emails us or sends us a message or some guy who comes up to us and says, hey, I'm listening to the show. I'm so thankful. And it's like, okay, it's a reassurance that it's nice every once in a while to see the fruits of your labor.
Sure.
I know that that's not
and
humble, but
we would be remiss if we didn't mention of like, as far as the things we get out of the show, the free alcohol is incredible.
Yeah.
We're sitting here drinking a bottle of Old Rip that we didn't pay for. Okay.
Yeah.
And when was the last time we had to buy a man drink for the show?
Oh, it's been
Last year. Have we had to buy any of them?
Yes. Yeah. But it's been few and far. But I mean, at least the last 3 months, we haven't.
Oh, it's more than that. Anyway,
that's been a bonus.
That's a huge bonus.
Yeah. So, anything else that you want to add, Blake?
Yeah, you know, I'll give a little personal testimony. So I drive to Oklahoma City every week, and on Monday mornings, I leave at 5:50 in the morning.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
I crank on the Catholic Man Show podcast at 6 a.m. on my drive, and it's been a routine now every single Monday, every single week. And it's just, it's amazing how, you know, I've learned, I've laughed, I've, you know, struggled through stuff, because over the course of 2 years, your life has ups and downs, and you have kids, and you know. And so it seems like a lot of your topics end up extremely timely, and you know, it helps me, as cheesy it sounds, get up out of bed on Mondays and know that there's probably a podcast waiting on me. And, you know, for that, I'm thankful for what you guys do. So
awesome. Awesome.
That's how I feel sometimes. Like I'll be like, yeah, I know we recorded. I wonder what we said.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. So let's talk about some of the episodes.
Okay.
I'll let you go first.
Okay. So I mentioned the leisure episode. And just because, yeah, it really did change the way I looked at Sundays. You know, what's the purpose of my downtime? And making sure that I'm keeping my attitude focused on I work so that I can have leisure.
One of the things that you said during that episode, it's stuck with me, and I've told other people this when talking with them. But you said, you know, we were made for rest.
Right.
You know, when people die, we say eternal rest. Mm-hmm. Grant unto them, O Lord,
and let perpetual light shine. Rest in God.
Right. And that's something that I did not think of up until that episode. When we started talking about that episode, that was one thing that hit me that I realized, yeah, we are made for rest.
Yeah.
And that was something that was kind of abstract to me.
Work is a result of original sin.
Mm-hmm.
There was no work in the garden. You know, it was, everything was just there. I mean, the garden provided everything for them. And so it really is, just having that attitude change did a lot for me personally.
Mm-hmm. One of my favorites was, this was, maybe we peaked really early. We probably peaked very early.
No doubt.
But episode 5, mm-hmm. The Mass in the Scripture, Scripture in the Mass. Mass in the Scripture.
Either Scripture way. In the Mass.
Scripture in the Mass.
Yeah.
And we went through the second half of the episode, we went through and we basically went through the whole Mass and where you could find that in the Bible.
Yeah. So if you started listening to our show somewhere after episode 5, you don't have to go back and listen to all of them, but go back and listen to number 5, because it especially if you're Catholic, you probably don't know how much Scripture is packed into the Mass.
That was one of those episodes that, you know, I studied for quite a while, like several weeks ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
And I got the idea from Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. We were at the Oklahoma Men's Conference, and he started kind of rattling
years ago.
I think, yeah, quite a few years ago. And he started rattling off. He did a section of the Mass, and he just was saying, like, oh, yeah, we're the Bible Church. And he started rattling all these off, and I thought, well, I wonder if I went through the whole Mass, how much would there be?
Yeah.
And so that took me quite a while, but that was one that I realized how much Scripture was actually in the Mass.
Which, almost the whole thing. I mean, spoiler alert, it's basically the whole thing.
But that was a fun one for me, for us.
Yeah, so go back and listen to that one. I also really like the ones where we talk about Mary, just because...
Big fan.
It's like my favorite thing to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And just some of the apologetics on Mary, and I could do that episode over and over and over and over again and not get tired of it.
Yeah, it's one of those...
Just for me talking about it, you know?
Right.
It's like when someone else brings up, oh, you want to talk about Mary? Yes.
Yes, I do.
Let's talk about Mary.
There's several topics, Mary being one of them, that when you listen, when I went back and listened to them, realized, I wish I would have said this, or, ooh, I wish I would have said that, because mm-hmm. there's just so much to talk about that you wish you could take it from a different angle over and over. You know, we could do like a 5-part series on certain things.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, we're going to hit our break. Right, there's the music. So when we get back, we'll continue talking about maybe some of our favorite episodes. We're here with Blake Berger and Juan Posada. I'm Adam Manhan with David Niles. We're drinking Old Rip Van Winkle, talking about the last 100 episodes. Hang in there with us. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Welcome back. Segment 4, episode 100.
Boom, boom, boom.
I'm David Niles, here with Adam Minahan, Mr. Blake Berger, Peanut Gallery, occupied by the one and only Juan Posada. Juan, I think you're everybody's favorite.
You are everybody's favorite.
You're my favorite one.
Juan said over the break that his favorite episode was Kingship.
It was also one of my favorite ones. As I was going through my list of what my favorite ones are, I realized... My favorite ones are all the topics that I did, and they're my favorites because I had to do all the research for them. You know, mm-hmm. I actually learned a lot about the topic, and I enjoyed that. You know, it's like what I was going to say, the show makes me study something.
Right.
And it wasn't that was my favorite episode, but it was my favorite topic.
Right.
You know, and Kingship was one of those that I really liked studying.
One of my favorite topics that we talked about, and it was early on as well, was the fourth cup. And only yes. because yes. it just blew my mind when I first heard about right. the fourth cup.
That's okay, another one, guys. Go back.
It's episode 11.
Yeah, you have to go back and listen to that. And Jesus and the Jewish Roots of the Eucharist. That's another one. And they're very closely related.
Well, you did that for the Council of Man.
No, but it's also on here. It's on there.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
But I did... I continued it.
Oh, that's right. That's right. But that was one of the topics that when I first found out about the fourth cup by Scott Hahn, you know, Scott Hahn wrote a book on it. I thought, and I think I said to you after I finished reading, I was like, why is that not something that everybody has to know coming out of RCIA?
Yeah. Why is it like I went to Catholic school through high school. How come I didn't know that? How come nobody told me this?
I'm an RCIA guy.
Right. Yeah. You had no idea.
No.
It blows your mind when you start reading about this stuff. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that was one of mine. Also, one of mine was Compassion, episode 61, because mm-hmm. it talked about, there was some controversy that we talked about mm-hmm. on Compassion, but I think that compassion has been so watered down these days that people don't even understand what compassion is any longer, because they sacrifice truth for the sake of what they call love, and you can't do that. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of one that it actually made me uncomfortable to talk about, but some of the topics that we've discussed that made me uncomfortable ends up being one of my favorite topics because I'm forced to
They challenge you.
Yeah, I'm forced to make it to say something to make a definitive statement. I think this, not this.
So on my way out the door to come over here, I asked Pamela what her favorite episode was, and she's like, "Oh, I don't know, it's kind of hard," but that's what she said. She said probably the compassion episode.
Mm-hmm. I remember telling you I want to do this. It was one of my topics, and I was like, "I want to do this, and it's not going to be easy."
I remember when you told me, I was thinking like, "Okay, we can talk about compassion. How long can we talk about compassion?" I didn't know what you meant, the angle you wanted to take. Yeah.
So
but I liked that one too, and that was one that we got really good feedback on.
Surprisingly,
mm-hmm.
I was kind of worried that we're going to get a bunch of hate mail.
In fact, a guy emailed us who struggles with same sex attraction,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and was telling us how much he appreciated the episode and
yeah
yeah
another one of mine. that I enjoyed was Things Catholic Men Need to Stop Doing, which was episode 23.
Uh-huh.
Because it's just stuff that I think men, regardless of your Catholic or not, it was, we talked about things that men need to stop doing that for some reason these traits have been like infiltrated into society that makes it okay. Like, men don't complain.
Yeah, shut up.
We don't complain. That's not a manly thing to complain about. And I struggle with that. Like, it's easy for me to talk about, like, oh, I just got off a plane. I'm exhausted. I'm tired. I'm jet lagged. It's like, that. There's nothing beneficial about talking about that. I shouldn't complain.
Yeah, I mean, like, you don't hear me complain when my biceps don't fit into any of the t-shirt sleeves that I have, okay? I just get over it because I'm a man.
Look at that. Go check out our YouTube video on this.
But Blake, do you have a favorite episode? It is putting you on the spot.
You know, I think as much as I enjoy listening to the two of you, it's some of my favorites, you know, when I downloaded the podcast and Mario Lopez popped on.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what in the world? Or Monsignor Gallus's or Bear Wozniak. Or, I mean, some of the, you know, bringing in folks that you know, I normally don't get to hear and hear you guys interact with them is a lot of fun.
Man, I love doing that too because we get to talk to them. Yeah, you know,
right.
It's like,
yeah.
I have Mario Lopez's cell phone number.
Yeah, which is pretty cool. Not that I'm ever going to call him.
No, I'm not going to call him. But
one of my favorite episodes, though, was when we went out to Clear Creek Abbey for the campsite. Yeah. That was episode 78. We talked about order.
Mm-hmm,
But and the topic was good, but really I think it was just about having all the guys there. We had, you know, 30 guys there and being able to interact with them, have fun.
And being at the monastery.
Being at the Clear Creek Monastery.
I love that place.
Yeah, that was probably one of my favorite. Like, if I had to guess, that was probably one of my favorite episodes just because of the atmosphere, being able to hang out with everybody.
Yeah. If you live in Tulsa and you have not been to Clear Creek Abbey and you're a man, you need to go.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Even if you're not in Tulsa, a lot of people travel.
Yeah, yeah. If you are within a reasonable distance, you need to go.
One of my favorite recordings that I, or interviews that I gave, and I actually gave it solo, but it was with Father Donald Calloway.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
On the Rosary, his Champions of the Rosary book. For some reason, you weren't available, and so I just said, I'll do it. And I recorded.
You did awesome on that. Like, I remember thinking, like, wow. Adam did a lot better than I thought he was going to do.
I think that was one of those that I spent a lot of time prepping for.
Yeah.
And it was one of those that...
And you actually read his book.
Yes. Yeah, which is... It was a big book. It's over 400 pages.
It's a good book.
But that was one of my favorite ones because I just remember... Again, we've talked about this before. Like, when you go outside and you work all day long, and you're sweating, you're exhausted, and you've accomplished something, and you look back and you're like, "Yes,
it feels good.
I feel good. Yeah. I feel good that I did something and accomplished it."
I think that's why I like to mow the yard.
Yeah,
I do. I like mowing the yard, and then you sit there and you look at your yard afterwards, and it looks so awesome.
Yeah,
it's like I did this by the sweat of my brow and the strength of my back.
So do you want to talk about some of our top episodes download wise?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so
because you wouldn't even tell me.
Yeah, I didn't want to tell you beforehand. I didn't want to spoil it. So all time up until this as of today, our all time downloads is 216,315 downloads. So that's pretty cool. We're almost at 250,000.
Yeah,
we're
very close.
We're approaching 250,000, which is just baffles me. Mm-hmm. But our top episodes were Matt Frad, episode 71 was our top one, talking about porn. Mm-hmm. And he has just a huge audience, and he helped with that.
Yeah.
So that was our top one. Our second one was Talking with Protestants with Steve Ray, episode 66.
Mm-hmm.
That was our second best downloaded-wise. And our third one was Faith, Family, and Work, episode 72 with Mario Lopez that... Blake was just talking about.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then there was like, it was those three and then, I don't know, seven that were all within a couple hundred.
Okay.
One with episode 90 with Patrick Coffin, the one we recently did. Growing in Faith with your wife, episode 91 that we did. And then episode 96, the Catholic liturgy was really far up there, which is kind of cool because it was really funny. I was like looking through all of our statistics and it was like, well, that's only because we had this person on. It's only because we had this person on. You know, there was nothing that it was just you and I, Dave, that like jumped up there.
Something tells me that if Patrick Coffin were to go through his episodes, the episode where the Catholic Man Show guys come on isn't going to like spike up to the top of his like
I don't think so
highest
either.
Downloads.
No, I don't think so either. But the growing, like, so the last couple that we've done, the growing in faith with your wife, episode 91, and the 90, episode 96, Catholic liturgy, we're really high up there.
Okay, so favorite episodes, also beauty. The beauty episode was really, really, really. That one I studied more than any. That's the one I've studied the most for. And what made me think of that is that you said liturgy, because later I heard the Liturgy Guys, their podcast, do an episode on beauty. And it was like, man, that made the beauty episode that we did look like trash. Like, okay, so if you actually want to hear a podcast that actually talks about beauty well, don't listen to ours. Go listen to theirs, okay? It is phenomenal.
Yeah.
I love those guys. Jesse is coming to Tulsa. We need to get him on the show.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Mm-hmm. I have connections.
Good. Make that happen.
I'm going to try.
You know, it's been really nice also to have so much support within the Tulsa Diocese. There's a lot of priests within the Tulsa Diocese that have given their support. Mm-hmm. Father Brian Ketter, Father Brian O'Brien, Monsignor Gallus, Father Brian Brooks, Father Sean Donovan. I mean, there's
Father Sean O'Brien.
I mean, there's a ton of them that have just given their support to us, which we're extremely grateful for. It's tough to do something like this without the support of clergy, so it's nice to have that.
I'm very grateful
for. And our Bishop David Condrilla has been nothing but supportive. Harrison Garlick, the Chancellor of the Diocese, has been nothing but supportive. So,
and he introduced us to Lafroig.
Yes, so we're eternally grateful for that. So,
how do you repay that?
I don't know. Blake, is there anything else that you want to bookend this episode with?
You know, I think just you know, you guys know what an accomplishment it's been for the first 100 episodes, and you know, personally I'm looking forward to what you guys have in store.
God willing, we will continue. I mean, and really it's God's will be done.
Right.
So this day and every day.
Thank you guys so much for listening. I can't believe you guys have, but Blake, thank you so much for the whiskey today. Old Rip Van Winkle, the 10-year. Absolutely delicious.
Pray for us.
Yes, please pray for us. That would be very grateful. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus.